Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
I am Pastor John. I am the English pastor here. Very pleased to have you here. If you're family or just visiting, you can see that we are super happy to have you guys. We have festivities afterwards as well. It's good to be here with you. You know, tonight we are here to celebrate Advent, which is the birth of Christ. Other titles that Jesus has Son of God and Son of Man. And it's during the season that we reflect upon the love that God has for us here in the world. But we also recognize during this time, during the Advent season, we recognize that this world is in need of a Savior. In Christmas, Advent is God's plan for saving the world. On Christmas Day, we celebrate God appearing to the world through Jesus the Savior. That's why we celebrate Christmas. But Christmas Day, 2,000 years ago, was not the only time that God appeared to the world. Throughout history, God has continually revealed himself to the world. In theological terms, we call this a theophany. That's when God appears to mankind. And in the past, God has revealed himself through a burning bush, if you remember that story in the Old Testament. Another time, God revealed himself through a pillar of fire. Once God appeared to Moses on a mountaintop, and the Bible describes this appearance, this theophany, as the mountain was engulfed, and was, the Bible literally says, an all-consuming fire covering the entire mountain. And the people, the elders and the people, were scared to even approach this mountain. These were the theophanies of God. And this is how God, the creator of the universe, chose to reveal himself to mankind. Oftentimes it was God revealed himself in power, in awe, and in wonder. But while God has every right to appear through such glorious and literally powerful means, the scriptures tell us that at times God chooses a different approach to reveal himself to humankind. Let me share with you one moment, one theophany where God revealed himself in a different way. The year was around 850 BC, around 2,800 years ago. The setting is on a mountain. God, for some reason, likes to appear to people on mountains. This mountain was called Mount Horeb. And God is about to theophanize. He's about to appear to a lone, discouraged, and downtrodden prophet named Elijah. Let me read for you the story. It's going to be up here on the board if you're able to put it up here. It's 1 Kings 19, 11 through 13. This is the story of the theophany, God revealing himself to the prophet Elijah. Then God said to Elijah, and he said, "Go out and stand on the mountain before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind tore into the mountains and broke the rocks in pieces before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still small voice." So it was when Elijah heard it that he wrapped his face in his mantle and he went out and stood in the entrance of the cave. Suddenly a voice came to him and said, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" Have you ever wondered what it would be like to encounter God? Would God's voice be powerful? Would it be loud? In my own life, I believe, I hold this moment dear that God spoke to me in a vision or a dream. But in this, I can share, perhaps I've shared with some of you, but during this vision, God spoke to me, and the one word that he said to me was kneel. And he said, kneel. And it wasn't even in English. It wasn't in any language that I know, but I knew that God was telling me to kneel. And I didn't obey God in this dream or this vision, and I get up and I kept going towards safety. And then God said it again, and he said, kneel. And that, I still remember that moment. It was the most powerful voice I've ever heard in my life. When I was in seminary is something that pastors go to just to learn about how to do ministry. And the president of my seminary, his name is Dr. Jeff Orge, he describes a theophany as well, a modern day theophany. He had cancer and he was in a waiting room. They were prepping him and everybody had left him and he was in the room by himself about to go to surgery. And he describes it this way, and he uses a biblical term. It's called the Shekinah glory, which is the room literally filled with smoke. And God came down and spoke to him in a voice, and he said that he's going to survive this surgery and he's going to be okay. And he was. So God reveals himself in different ways to different people. It's called theophanies. And this is Elijah's encounter with God before us that we're reading today. God tells Elijah, go stand on the mountain and wait for God to pass by. Similar to Moses, if you know Moses' story. And this is what it says, a great, which is the Hebrew word describes as a large in intensity, in magnitude, or loud, and powerful, strong, which in Hebrew has this connotation of being strong and mighty and severe. A wind tore through the mountains and it shattered the rocks. Now this is this is God appearing to mankind. This is the descriptions that we get. But the Lord Yahweh was not in the wind. Then there was this earthquake and there was this quaking and rattling and shaking, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. Then there was this fire with a flame, a supernatural fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after all of these came a still small voice, a gentle whisper. You know, when I'm reading this story, I can almost feel Elijah's expectation. God had already told Elijah, said, I'm going to meet with you, Elijah. I know that you're discouraged. Go out, I'm going to stand on this mountain. I'm going to meet with you. Elijah must have been beaming with expectation. He finally gets his chance to see the Lord. The Lord's going to pass over him like he did Moses. And a strong wind comes, and it is so strong. I can just picture you standing here. The wind is tearing apart the rocks. And you must be like, God, he's here, he's coming. But guess what? God wasn't in the wind. The wind ends. Surely he must have thought the Lord was passing by at that moment, but he wasn't. Then there's this earthquake that's like, it's happening, and he must be like, God is here. He's here. This is what God feels like. This is what it's like. Maybe he even closes his eyes because he's thinking the Lord is passing him by. But the Lord wasn't in the earth. Then there was this fire. I used to live in Brazil. There was this technique called slash and burn, and they had burned the sugarcane fields that night. And I woke up and I saw a huge fire and I thought my world was over. And I went out into the field and I couldn't even get 100 yards between me and this field. The whole field was engulfed in flames and it was literally just like melting my face off. And I imagine that's what Elijah must have felt like, standing here and he feels the fire and it's warm. And this is God. And this is what it feels like for God to come. And God wasn't in the fire. He wasn't. He was in the still small voice. And as I read this story, this theophany, I think that in a real and profound way, this story speaks of our own desire to meet with God. Who among us would turn down the chance to meet with God? If God said, hey, I'm going to meet with you this afternoon, go stand on the mountain, and I'm going to pass by you. I think that every one of us would like a God encounter, kind of like Elijah in this. And I wish that all of my heart that every one of us has an amazing encounter, kind of like Elijah. It would be so amazing. But as I read this account of God passing over Elijah, something strikes me. Something stands out from this story. And it's not the great and powerful wind that tore the mountains and broke the rocks into pieces. While impressive, that is not what stands out. in this story. Also, the earthquake. I used to live in San Francisco. I understand how impressive earthquakes are, and they can be astonishing. And I'm sure that Elijah was even in awe as the ground is shaking before him. But that's not what impresses me in this story. That's not what even stands out the most. What stands out the most in this whole story is that God chose to reveal, to manifest, to theophanize himself in a still, small voice. Out of all of the means that God could have chosen to reveal himself to the world, he could have appeared in the mighty winds, in an earthquake, in a fire, burning bush, choose your account. He could have revealed a different, whatever mode he so chooses. But what Elijah most needed to hear from God in his life, God chose to reveal himself in a still small voice. And you have to ask yourself why. And this is getting to the character of God, but here's the reason that I believe that God sometimes reveals himself in a still small voice. Listen to this. This is the one thing I would love for you to get from tonight's message, is that God reveals himself in the still small voice so that we can see and know God's humble heart. God reveals himself in a still small voice so that we can see and know God's humble heart. In other words, if God were to suddenly appear in power and might in an earthquake and shattering rocks and the fires and the wind and this magnitude and greatness, I wonder if it would be the humble heart of God that we noticed. Or would it be the power of God that we notice? While the power of God and the humble heart of God do go hand in hand, at times in history, God has chosen to reveal himself through his humble heart rather than his great power. A still small voice, so to say, in lieu of a mighty wind, earthquake, or fire. So, how does that bring us to Advent? Fast forward 800 years from this Elijah theophany, Mary and Joseph. They've been told by God that God is about to appear here on earth. Another theophany, remember that term. But this theophany is unlike any theophany ever before. Instead of a pillar of fire, instead of a burning bush, instead of a mountain, an all-consuming fire covering a mountain, instead of the wind or fire or earthquake, God appears in the flesh as a tiny, a tender, soft, this is God. No precious, you know, like cute cheeks. Newborn baby. And this is what the voice of God sounded like. Of course, that was my daughter. But this is what the voice of God would have sounded like to Mary and Joseph. And it sounds much like that still, small voice that Elijah encountered hundreds of years earlier. And we have to ask ourselves again, why did God reveal himself in this still, small voice? This was God's shining moment. The moment that all of humanity and all of history was waiting for. For God to reveal himself to the world and save the world. This is God's shining moment. And God chose to reveal himself through a tiny, a tender, a soft, and precious, and cute, cutie patootie newborn baby with a still small voice. Why did God choose to reveal himself that way? And this is the answer that I want to give you to that question. And it's the same question that I gave to you to explain Elijah's theophany experience. That God reveals himself in this still, small voice so that we can see and know his humble heart. God revealed himself in this still and small voice so that we can see and know his humble heart. God came into flesh to show us how much he loves us. To show us that he was willing to do everything and anything to get us back in a right relationship with him so that we can live eternally with him. Even if it meant coming in the most humblest of means, the most defenseless of all forms, a newborn baby. And you might say, are you saying that God didn't come in power when he came when God sent the Father sent his only son, Jesus Christ, the born on Christmas Day 2,000 years ago, that he didn't come in power that day? And the answer to that is no, God did come in power. But his power was not displayed in the mighty winds or the powerful earthquakes or the all-consuming fire, but rather God's power was revealed and displayed in his love for us. And the love of God is greater than and more powerful than anything that we could ever, 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 ever fathom. The love of God revealed in Jesus Christ the Savior has the power to listen to this, to abolish sin, not just any sin, but all of sin. This is the love of God. The love of God has the power to heal any and all relationships. The love of God has the power to heal any and all sicknesses. The love of God has the power to give eternal life. The love of God has the power to offer you and I an eternal inheritance with God in his heavenly home. The still small voice of God reveals God's love for the world. And that love is more mighty and more awesome and powerful than any wind or earthquake or fire or bush or any other mode. That's the love of our God. So this Advent, as we remember and celebrate the birth of Jesus the Savior, ponder these things. Consider the still small voice of God and know the love and the power and the humble heart of God revealed to the world 2,000 years ago, that momentous first Christmas day.